Hello, this is Arnett McEntee, and I'm delighted you've joined us for Bible study by means of this Family Bible Hour cassette. The study today is entitled David's Song and Last Words. This message was given on the Family Bible Hour program 1848 and now appears on our cassette number 90. It is our prayer that as you study the Word of God from the cassette and the accompanying Bible study outline, that you'll be richly blessed. May the Lord be with you. 209 years ago, a young man of 38 years of age sought protection between two massive pillars of rock as a violent thunderstorm passed through the area. Standing within the safety it provided, he was subsequently inspired to write a hymn which has become one of history's greatest. So it was that Augustus Toplady compared the rock which gave him protection to a picture of the rock Christ Jesus, who gave him protection from sin and for all of eternity. Thus he wrote, "Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee, while the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure, save me from its guilt and power." Centuries before, another writer saw a protecting rock, and David, Israel's sweet singing psalmist, wrote, "The Lord is my rock." In David's day of uncertainty, as well as in yours and mine, how wonderful to know the Lord is my rock. What stability! Today, in our continuing study of the Bible, the Holy Word of God, we consider 2 Samuel chapters 22, 3, and 4. Realizing the impossibility of any in-depth treatment of these 115 verses, I urge you to read these three interesting chapters for yourself and to write requesting our free cassette and Bible study outline. I know they'll help you further. These three chapters present David's song of salvation and his deliverance, David's soldiers and their defense, while in the 24th chapter we see David's sin and disobedience. It is in verse 2 of the 22nd chapter David sings, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." Here, the word rock means a huge, immovable rock. For David, this rock, his God-provided rock, was one that gave stability and security. In our 20th century, when our very foundations have been shaken by economic, financial, and political unrest, each of us need the stability of the rock, Christ Jesus. I'm reminded of a young student nurse in her early 20s who felt that way when she said, "Mr. McEntee, my church has changed its position on so many issues, I don't know what to believe anymore." Friend, if you are in that same insecure position and feel the need of security, which is found alone in Christ, come as a sinner to my Savior. Then will you be able to sing, "The Lord is my rock." It is in Psalm 40 and verse 2, David says, "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings." As Augustus Toplady hid within the cleft of the rock, he was safe. Oh, listen. Listen now to the words of the great Isaiah as he speaks of the rock to say, in chapter 32 and verse 2, "A man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and as a cover from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Not only does the rock Christ Jesus provide salvation and stability, it also provides satisfaction. It is a satisfaction which cannot be found in a Christ-hating world. Listen, as the psalmist says in 78 and verse 16, He brought streams also out of the rock and caused the waters to run down like rivers. My friend, if you will believe, you are a sinner. In the miry clay of sin and estranged from God, then there is life and hope for you in the rock Christ Jesus, who provides salvation, stability, and satisfaction. Leave the world and its sins to enjoy all these three benefits that Almighty God provides for you. Many are the precious lessons which remain to be learned of the rock, but we hurriedly move to chapter 23 to learn of the soldiers of David and their devotion. The chapter begins by telling us these are David's last words, and this very fact gives import to his sayings, doesn't it? Read verses 14 to 17. Imagine we overhear the sigh of David as he longs for a drink of the clear, cold water from the well at Bethlehem. Three brave men have heard the secret desire of their king, and so, using their military courage and cunning, they broke through the enemy's lines and in their devotion brought their noble leader his desired drink. To their consternation, he poured it out on the ground, declaring as he did that it had been obtained at the risk of their lives. So it was David poured it out as an offering unto the Lord. The Word of God says these were mighty men. They put their lives in jeopardy to please their king. Dear fellow believer, what are you and I doing for our absent king? Is every wish of our heavenly monarch our deep desire? If you and I are enjoying the blessings of the rock, Christ Jesus, his salvation, stability, and satisfaction, we will be his mighty men and be found serving him, whatever the cost. As the great apostle Paul wrote to the Christians at Rome, he said in chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Friend, you and I, who have accepted Christ as Savior, have been saved to surrender and sacrifice. Only a few days of service remain until we hear the shout and leave earth for glory. We turn now to the last of our three chapters for today and look at chapter 24 of 2 Samuel. It is here the beautiful type of David breaks down, and the man whose confidence should have been in God is seen numbering the people of Israel. Then David could place his hope in 1,300,000 valiant and well-trained men rather than in his God. How dreadfully sad. No sooner is the task completed and David cries, I have sinned greatly in that I have done, and now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have sinned foolishly. Poor David. His sin of disobedience had its price, and he paid it. Our chapter concludes with David purchasing the site on which the future temple to be built by Solomon would be obtained. then that temple would ultimately be erected. But now there's something else to be erected. It's an altar. And David is going to make an offering, a sacrifice to the God he has offended. It was only on the grounds of the sacrifice that dear David could be restored to fellowship with his God. So it is for the believer of the 20th century. He may have enjoyed salvation, stability, and satisfaction found in the rock Christ Jesus. He may have been numbered even among the mighty men of God. But if he sins, the only place for confession and forgiveness is the altar, the place of sacrifice, the place called Calvary. Am I speaking to someone today who is away from God and out of fellowship with Him? Oh, dear one, be quick to confess your sin and believe 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. There we know that our loving God will forgive every sin confessed to Him by His people. If, as yet, you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to plead with you to believe that you are a sinner and that He who died for your sins longs to be your Savior. He longs to receive you as His very own. He longs to forgive your every sin. Will you accept the Savior, the Lord Jesus, as now we pause to pray you will? Loving Father, please honor Thyself and Thy Son this very moment, as dear listening friends accept the Lord Jesus as Savior. This we pray for Thy glory and their eternal blessing in Jesus' holy name. Amen. It's good to have you with us today for the study of the Word of God. This is Arnett McEntee of the Family Bible Hour, and I'm so pleased that you've requested this cassette so you can study the Word of God along with us. It's a pleasure, too, to enclose a copy of our outline for this meditation, and it is our prayer that as now you study the Word, the Lord will bless you in His own special way. This meditation appears on our cassette number 90 and was taken from our program number 1849. Now, may you know much of the Lord's presence and may the Spirit of God guide you through this exciting study of the Shepherd Psalm. It was an early morning hour during the dark days of World War II, when a young naval wireless operator leisurely tapped out the words of the 23rd Psalm. Into the dark night it traveled to an unseen and unknown audience. When the last sentence was transmitted, "I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever," 16 ships answered, "Amen." The message of the immortal Psalm had been received and appreciated. Our continuing study brings us today to the jewel of the Psalms. This one of 150 Psalms has given comfort and hope to mankind of every century. Let me read it with you, and I do so with a prayer the Lord will bless it to the heart of every listener. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And we add a warm and grateful Amen. From this best loved of all psalms and literature, three precious and valuable lessons are to be learned. We have the secret of a happy life, the secret of a happy death, and finally and forever, the secret of a happy eternity. Yes, it's possible to have a happy life, death, and eternity. Are you interested in all three? I'm sure you are. So let's prayerfully consider them together. The secret of a happy life began when David could truthfully say, "The Lord is my shepherd." He is truly the shepherd of the sheep. Is he your shepherd? It is in Isaiah 53:6 the prophet declares, "All we like sheep have gone astray." Friend, it's sad but true. In our sin, we've strayed from God. "We went astray," said the psalmist, "as soon as we were born, speaking lies." That's bad news. The good news is that the Lord Jesus Christ, as the good shepherd, went after the lost sheep until he found it. He said in John 10:11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." What a beautiful lesson and picture. The good shepherd came from glory, seeking the lost sheep like you and me. To any who, by faith, accept him as personal Savior, they can truly say before God and man, "The Lord is my shepherd." You may know the psalm, my friend, but do you know the shepherd? It is tragically true, millions will be lost forever who know the psalm, but not the shepherd. Oh, make certain he is your shepherd, and thus you will know the secret of a happy life. You will be able to say, "The Lord is my shepherd." In verse 4, we have the secret of a happy death. "Thou art with me." The undeniable fact of life is still, it is appointed unto man once to die. Known in the council chambers of eternity is the day and date on which you and I must leave this planet. On the calendar of God, the date has been circled, and when it arrives, nothing can change the divine plan. Friend, are you ready to die? For the believer, David calls it the valley of the shadow of death. A shadow has never hurt or harmed anyone. So it is with the shadow of death. The believer goes through with the shepherd he loves, saying as he goes, "Thou art with me." A short time ago, my dear mother went through the valley of the shadow of death. And as this psalm was being read to her, she whispered in her weakness, "I'm going through the valley now, and he is with me." That is truly the secret of a happy death. How unlike the man or woman who has no shepherd with whom to traverse the valley. In the 13th verse of his epistle, Jude describes those who go through death without a Savior as wandering stars, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. What a contrast. How sad if there's no one to travel the long, lonely valley with you. The Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, who wants to go through life as your shepherd, is the very same one who will journey at your side through the valley. But my dear friend, you must begin your journey with him in time. It will be too late when you are overtaken by death. Can you truthfully say that you know the secret of a happy life? The Lord is my shepherd? If so, you enjoy the secret of a happy death. Thou art with me. Both lead to a happy eternity, when the psalmist says, "And so can you and I. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Isn't that exciting? What a prospect. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You have that assurance if the Lord Jesus is your shepherd. John 14, 1-3 records the words of my Savior. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believed in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." That same thrilling assurance is stated by the Savior in a somewhat different way in the 10th chapter of John and verse 28 when he said, "I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish." Man, what a promise. They shall never perish. Are you enjoying that wonderful truth today? Oh, how I hope you are. For just a moment, take a brief look at each of the six verses in our beautiful psalm. In verse 1, we have a personal shepherd. He is my shepherd. He provides for us in verse 2, while in verse 3, walks the path with us. The ransomed sheep enjoy his presence in verse 4, while in verse 5, his promised protection is available to once straying sheep who are now safe in the fold. The psalm concludes with the exciting prospect, "I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Can you imagine what that will be like, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever? While the never-ending ages of glory will roll their course, the believer will be with the one of whom he could say, "The Lord is my shepherd." If you can truthfully say the first five words of verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd," you can also say the last 12 of verse 6, "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." In a moment, we'll pause and pray, "Our shepherd is your shepherd." Before we do, don't be content with just knowing this psalm. Beautiful as it may be certain, oh, be very certain, dear friend, you know the Savior. May you be able to say assuredly, "The Lord is my shepherd. He is mine, and I am his forever and ever." Will you return as a wandering, straying sheep today? Tell the Lord Jesus you are lost. Ask him to receive you as he has promised. As he received me 43 years ago, he is prepared to receive you if you will only come. Please come, as now we pray you will. Loving Father, please honor thyself and thy Son today, as dear ones come believing to the Shepherd, and are thus able to say, "The Lord is my shepherd." We pray in our Savior's worthy name. Amen.